Levites commence with hymn 362. Now pleased and blessed be God to hear the people cry, come, let us seek our God today. Yes, with a cheerful zeal, we haste to Zion's hill, and there our vows and honours pay. Hymn 362.
Thank you. the Holy Word of God. We will read together part of the Gospel according to John chapter 6. The Gospel according to John chapter 6. And we'll read from the beginning to the end of verse 40. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain, himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks, When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And we'll leave our reading there. May God bless it to us and help us now to pray. O thou most merciful and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we seek thy gracious help and blessing here this evening, and thy help, Lord, as we come into this house of prayer to worship thee. Lord, we come with great need. We have by nature hearts that are wicked and deceitful. And, O Lord, we do pray that we may be brought by thy mercy and favour to see our hearts for what they are. And Lord, we pray that thou lead us then to thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for that cleansing in his precious blood. Lord, we pray as we gather for this service, that thy great and holy name might be honoured and glorified in all that we attend to here this evening. We pray that thou would overcome the poverty of our minds and of our worship, and that we may find acceptance in the Beloved this evening. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for thy dear beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, and for that way that is made in and through him, a way of approach, access into the holiest of all by his precious blood. And we seek this evening that we may be blessed with that gift of faith, and that we might see by faith a once crucified, now risen, exalted Saviour. Lord, we ask thy blessing upon each of the friends that are gathered here. Lord, we pray that thou remember them each. Thou knowest, Lord, how they've come and what they need. And Lord, thou art able to supply each need. And we do pray that thy word this evening may be suited to meet each case, and that there might be something for us each to take home, to think about, to ponder over. Lord, we pray that there might be something for us to feed upon. Lord, that thy word this evening may prove to be a living word, and it might bring forth praise to thy holy name. Oh, we do thank thee for those many exceeding great and precious promises contained in thy word. We ask humbly before thee that thou grant us the application of thy word by the power of thy Spirit. Lord, we pray that the dear Holy Spirit may take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us, that he may clothe the word in power, and that he might apply it to our hearts. And Lord, we do pray that it might have an effect, a lasting effect. There might be those things done, even this night, which will be testified of in heaven above. Grant us then that thou, the blessings of the riches of thy grace, take away any hindrances, any distractions. Lord, thou knowest our hearts and our minds and how they would wander unless thou dost keep us. Lord, we pray for the drawing power. Lord, that thou draw us to thyself. Raise us above the dying things of this world. And though we may have many busy things in our lives, though we may have many pressing things of this day in which we live, we pray, Lord, that thou lift us above the reach of them, and that thou draw us to thyself, and that we may know some preciousness in the things of God. Lord, we seek for thy gracious help to each. We pray for the children and young people. Lord, they are called to live in a difficult day. And there are many things to discourage them and many things to turn them aside. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt put thy hand upon each one of them, that thou wilt hedge about their ways, and grant, Lord, that thou wilt be that wall of fire round about them, and help them, and guide them, and keep them in all things. We pray that the fear of the Lord may be put within them. And Lord, we pray that they, in thy time and way, will be brought forth as thy children, led and taught by thy Spirit. May they have their hearts changed. May, Lord, thy work appear in them, we humbly pray. And may they be found as true followers of the Lamb. And grant, Lord, that they may grow to be mothers in Israel, pillars in the church of God. May there be here a seed to serve thee, to call thee the Redeemer blessed. Lord, there are many influences around them. Oh, we pray that thou keep them by thy grace and give them that discernment to know the difference between right and almost right. Oh, Lord, we seek for divine help. Nothing less, Lord, can be sufficient. Oh, but thy grace, Lord, is sufficient for them. Oh, we pray then that thou make it known to them each. And visit them, we pray, and call them by grace while they're young in life. And keep them from a life of sinning and grieving thee. But, Lord, who hold them fast and keep them near to thee. And bless parents and those that watch on. And may we ever pray for one another. And, Lord, may we seek to encourage one another in the many difficulties there are. And, Lord, from time to time when we find the way too much, oh, we pray that thou visit us and put strength in us. And may it be as it was with dear Elijah, under that juniper tree. May we hear thy voice saying, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for thee. Lord, do remember our elder friends. Lord, we bring them before thee and pray that thou'd undertake for them. Lord, as the evening time of life draws on, as the shadows lengthen upon the earth, and the days that they've lived are more than the days that they are to live, help them to lay these things to heart. Oh, that thou, Lord, bring them to consider their latter end. Make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Oh, Lord, keep us from any sins of presumption, taking it for granted. Lord, take away any false hopes, anything, Lord, which is comes short of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Lord, bring us to each stand on that rock. Oh, we pray bring us to shelter beneath that precious blood. May it be a token for us. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Lord, do confirm our older friends in their souls. May it be at evening time, it shall be light. Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon them. And as body and mind deteriorate, oh, may grace abound. May the knowledge of Christ and his love abound and grow more and more. Oh, may there be that separating effect. I could from all things parted be, never, never, Lord, from thee. Oh, Lord, we do pray then, prepare us each, for we know not what a day nor an hour may bring forth. The old must die, the young may. We know not, Lord, how long or short our lives are. But this we know, that after this is a judgment day, and a vast, never-ending eternity. And that question is asked, how stands the case, my soul with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear. Lord, may we not come short at that great day. May we not be as that one in Pilgrim's Progress who fumbled in his breast for that certificate. Oh Lord, may we be made right. Prepare us each. Oh, may we know him whom to know is life eternal. Oh Lord, save us each then, we humbly pray, with that everlasting salvation. Bless us with the freedom from guilt and condemnation while here below, so that when we are called to stand at thy judgment seat, we may prove that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Lord, do help us then, we humbly pray. Bless us in our little lives. Help us, help this church here, bind them together in the bundle of life with the Lord their God. Knit their hearts together in thy love. Lord, may they endeavour to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Lord, who add to their number such as should be saved. We thank thee, Lord, for the tokens of thy continued work here among them. And we pray, go on now, mighty God, thy wonders to make known, till every sinner bought with blood shall trust in Christ alone. Lord, do remember them, then we humbly pray, ever bless them with faithful preaching of thy word. Lord, remember our churches. Remember our dear brother turned in among us here this evening. Lord, we do pray that thou'd help him as he continues to minister thy word. And Lord, do bless each the visitors here this evening, and any that might be listening in. We would not remember those that are unable to come up to the house of God. But Lord, may we be ever found, where possible, among thy people, in this house of prayer. So, Lord, do Visit us then here with thy presence. And as we leave thy house and we go on into this week, we humbly pray that thou go with us. We seek thy abiding presence. Lord, without thee we can do nothing. Oh, but with thy presence and with thy enabling grace, with Christ in the vessel, we smile at the storm. We would seek that same knowledge that the apostle had. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So forgive us our every sin. Wash us in the Redeemer's precious blood. May we be found often at Calvary. May we sit down and watch him there. May we ever view mercy's streams in streams of blood. O Lord, do forgive every sin. And wash us in that fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. We ask, Lord Jesus, in thy name. Amen.
In number 270. Gird thy loins up, Christian soldier. Lo, thy captain calls thee out. Let the danger make thee bolder. War in weakness, dare in doubt. Buckle on thy heavenly armour. Patch up no inglorious peaks. Let thy courage wax the warmer as thy foes and fears increase. In 270.
Thank you.
turn with me once again to the book of Judges, chapter 6. And with the Lord's help, I'll speak to you from six words in the middle part of verse 39. The book of Judges, chapter 6, and the middle part of verse 39. Let me prove, I pray thee. Let me prove, I pray thee. We considered briefly this morning those sweet and blessed communications that Almighty God has and is pleased to have with his poor sinful people here below. And we considered something of Gideon and the circumstances he was found in at this time. And we considered the mercy of God in granting to him some knowledge of not just himself, a felt sense of weakness, but something of the God who Gideon served. He knew something of the power of God. He knew something of the peace of God. And here he sought to know the will of God. And as he had taken up that fleece, which was wet, that first sign confirming the will of God to Gideon, and had wrung it out and got a bowl full of water, so in need and with a desire to know the mind of his God concerning the way forward, he ventured again, let me prove, I will speak but this once, let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. And the Lord was pleased to show him another token. And we read, and God did so that night. And so, for Gideon, his desire to understand, his desire to know what the will of God was, in the fleece, in those two instances, it was used to prove the intended will of God. Let me prove, I pray thee. But with Gideon, it wasn't the end of things. Gideon still had the Midianites before him. Oh, what a comfortable place you could say Gideon was. He had, in your own time, you would do well to read the following chapter. 32,000 men he had with him. God on his side. Something of the power of God, the peace of God, and the will of God. It proved the Lord faithful to his word. Proved him gracious and a God full of compassion and condescending. No hard taskmaster, but one that would lovingly encourage his dear servant along the way. But he still had more to learn. And so, beloved friends, have you and I. And this evening, as we come into the house of God, maybe you've had a think this afternoon and of what you have been brought to prove concerning your God. And what the Lord, in his infinite mercy and love and wisdom, has condescended to teach you, and yet still you have more to learn, and so have I. And so had Gideon. And the Lord says to him, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. You see, what a strange thing. We've got too many people. You've got too much help, Gideon. But surely this is comfortable for me then. The Lord says, no. There's too many. There are too many for me to give the Midianites in their hand, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. And the Lord dispatches with 22,000 of them. And there's 10,000 left. And is thy God able to deliver thee with 10,000? When such a great host, we've been oppressed by these for so long. Well, let me prove, I pray thee. Oh, how we must prove where our strength, where our help comes from. How our Creator knows so much more about us than we know about ourselves. How he saw the hearts of those Israelites, and so he sees yours and mine. And he, in love and mercy, will remove this and remove that. And what a mercy it is when we're brought to truly cling and cleave to him. And it's not long before the Lord has dispatched with another 9,700. And Gideon's left now with 300 out of that 32,000 that he began with. 300. And that's the will of the Lord. And it's another time for Gideon to prove the power of his God. Nothing has changed. His God is with him. Oh, and if God be for us, says the Apostle Paul, who can be against us? Oh, what a thing to have it reduced. Reduced from 32,000 to 300 men. Who then is Gideon and those 300 men relying on? Surely it's entirely upon their God. In a situation which was already enormously difficult, naturally speaking, is now impossible. And do not be surprised, my dear friends, if in your little life and in mine, the Lord will bring things that are impossible, the things that you thought were difficult, they become seemingly impossible, as one by one, the Lord, in his infinite wisdom and mercy, removes a prop here and a prop there. He removes a help here and a helper there, until you are in that right place. Your eyes, by necessity, must be fixed on him and him alone. But we leave the Old Testament and we go to our Lord Jesus Christ. And the reading that we read together this evening. And when we find here the Lord in his mercy teaching those disciples that were with him. Oh, what a kind and gracious master he was to them. In all those things that he taught them, as he spent those years ministering with them and among them, and those who were followers of him, what they learnt from him. And here, the Lord Jesus, we read, he came to... It was coming towards the feast of the Passover, and the multitude were with them. And Jesus then asks Philip this question: whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Oh, they had been listening to his words, he had been preaching to them, and the day had drawn on. And he would not send them away hungry. And he turns to Philip and he says, Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And the Apostle John says, and this he said to prove him. To prove Philip. For he himself, this is Jesus, for he himself knew what he would do. Well, these things then, the Lord begins to prompt his disciples. There's some things to be learned. There's some lessons to be applied. But for us to learn the lessons, our hearts must be prepared. The ground, as it were, must be prepared for the seed to enter in and to find an abiding place. This he said to prove him. You know, friends, you may be like Philip. The Lord brings something to you, something arises in your life. And you begin to work it out. Maybe you're like Philip and you're working out, trying to work out the answer. You're a mathematician. Your mathematical skills, you look to them to work out a way. But you will prove, like Philip proved, that all that the mathematical solutions will only reveal the extent of the problem. They won't meet the need. Philip's reasoning may be right. 200 pennyworth of bread, he said, isn't sufficient. Well, maybe he was right. But all his reasoning did not provide one single morsel for them to eat. All it did was show the extent of the enormous thing that lay before them. Jesus had no desire to send them away empty. He knew exactly what he would do, and he knew that none of them would go empty away. And he was to apply a lesson to Philip. Philip had a number of things stretching before him. A number of things he would have to pass through. Almost immediately, well, the same day, that very evening, another great test was coming upon Philip and the others in that boat. And lessons must be learned. Oh, and what a mercy, beloved friends, if you and I are found being led and taught by God. Like Gideon, we seek to know more of God. The problems that we have in our lives are used to bring us to Him. Yes, we may, like Philip, begin with our pen and paper and try and work our way out of something. Oh, but what a favour if the Lord brings us as He did with Philip. Oh, there'd be a lot of head scratching, a lot of wondering. But eventually there must be a look into Jesus. Oh, how precious it is when we're brought to look entirely to Him. You know, you find the next disciple, Andrew. Well, he begins to look around. He hears of the desire of the Lord to feed these before He sends them away. And so he doesn't begin working out, but he begins searching. He begins looking for what they can find. But again, you see, he comes up short. Oh, in all his searching, in all his endeavouring to find a solution, to provide an answer to this need, he comes up short. And how short he comes up. Philip says 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient, and all Andrew can find is 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And even he says and acknowledges, but what are these among so many? What are these among so many? Oh, we need divine help, don't we? You know, what about you and I? When you measure yourself against the standard set in the Word of God, when you view how you should live your life, what the holy law of God demands, how far short we come. Oh, you try and work out, don't you? You try and work out how far short you come. You look at all your past life. Try and count how many sins that you've committed. Oh, what a great number. A number that no man can number. Oh, and then what do you have? What have you? You look for the good things that you've got, the good things you've done. And you're searching here and searching there. And the one cannot in any way outweigh the other. Oh, what need we have. Oh, how we stand in need of so much, and yet By nature, we have so little. We have nothing. We have to confess with the hymn writer, our best is stained and dyed with sin. Our all is nothing worth. Oh, we come so short. When we look at what is expected. Oh, the soul that sinneth against God must die. What can we plead? Well, maybe you and I have spent our time searching. And we've looked here and we've looked there. We try to reckon up. And we've come to a sudden stop. And what can be done? And where can we turn? And who can help it with such a case like ours? We need the divine help of Almighty God. Oh, we need the Lord Jesus himself. Oh, we need this wonder-working, glorious God-man, the man Christ Jesus. Well, we need him to undertake for us. We need him to do everything for us. We need him to come right where we are. We need him, oh, to prove to us his divine, almighty, wonder-working grace. We need him to take our case and to take us in hand and to do all that we stand in need of. Jesus said, make them the men sit down. And then, oh, he gives thanks and he begins to distribute. And beloved friends, he takes those five loaves and those two fishes and he begins to break. Oh, this is a glorious miracle. How he can get so much out of so little. Oh, how he can supply the needs of 5,000 men beside women and children. How that having all of them taken sufficient, there were still 12 baskets remaining of all the fragments that were left. Oh, is that your desire, mine, that we might know more of this? This is surely Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Maybe in something in Providence this evening, and the Lord has brought you to a sudden stop, and you've tried this and you've tried that. And where can you go? And what can be done? Oh, what's the Lord done? Where's he brought you? Oh, that you might come to his feet. That you might seek for that help. And maybe it is a providence thing. Maybe it is something for your family or your business or for yourself personally. Oh, but what a wonderful opportunity for you to prove the mercy of God. You know, the Lord makes these opportunities. Oh, he's a giver of all things. What a favour. If the Lord does put his hand upon you, does bring you to these spots and places, so that you might truly be led and taught by him, that you truly might understand the word of God which you read and which is read to you and is preached to you. That you might be brought into a knowledge of him, the Lord Jesus. And that in these things in your life, they may be gathered together, as it were, in your heart and in your mind, and so applied to your soul to convince you that there is a God in heaven, and that he has heard your prayers, and that he will be inquired of, and that you can come to him. Oh, to receive from him. Oh, these then of his disciples then went into the ship. And another of the Gospels says he constrained them to get into the ship. And I thought often of this. I'm sure that with them they took those 12 baskets. I'm sure the baskets probably came from the ships in the first place. But into those ships went the disciples, constrained by him to cross to the other side without him with them. And further teaching. Oh, they had to prove him more. And so you and I, what a need we have to follow on to know the Lord. What a need we have to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a need we have to read his word, to be taught his word, not in the letter of it so we can remember it word by word, but good if we can, but to know the application of his word into our souls. That his word might go from our head into our hearts, and there it may abide. There it may abide. We just sung, didn't we, of the whole armour of God? And in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul exhorts them to take on them the whole armour of God, and the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God. Well, how can we take on the whole armour of God if we haven't proved it? You know, think of David when he went out against Goliath. Saul gave him his armour and gave him his sword, and David essayed to go, but he couldn't. Why? Because he hadn't proved it. It wasn't familiar to him. For him to fight, his life depended on it. But for him to fight, oh, he must be familiar with the weapon. He must be familiar with this armour. And he's not walked in it in this way before. And he's not fought with it in this way before. What does he know? What has he proved? Well, he's proved his God. And this is what he leans on. The God who delivered him from the mouth of the lion and the paw of the bear. He said, "Will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine, no matter how big he is." And he took with him his sling and 5 pebbles from the brook. Oh, that you and I might seek to prove the word of God. God's word, what a precious gift it is. What the teaching of God's word, what a precious gift the teaching of the Holy Spirit is. We think of people that have come into difficult places in their lives. Maybe there's bereavement or sorrow or difficulty in some way. And we say that we pray, don't we, that the Lord will sanctify it to them. What do we mean by that expression, sanctify? We'll use it for the good of their souls. But why sanctify? Well, be used to separate them, as it were, and draw them away, and draw them out of the world. This setting them apart from the world around. We live in a dying, sin-cursed earth. What need we have of this separating? It's come out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. But who can do that? And who has a heart that desires that? You feel the pull of the world on the one hand. You feel the fearfulness of your, and the weakness of your faith on the other. Who can except the God, except God separate us? And there is this sanctifying effect. And that as we are brought into things, we're brought into a knowledge of God in it. And God is made known to us through these things that we pass through. And that we're brought to more and more trust in Him. And there's a growing in grace and in the knowledge of Him and His Word, the faithfulness of God. You know, the Apostle Paul, he, writing the epistle to Timothy, and in his second epistle he begins, well, in he speaks of himself. He says, where, verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. And in verse 12 he says this, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. What's he suffered? He suffered various things, hasn't he? He is at present in prison. He's bound. He's suffering these things. The Lord has seen fit to permit things to come into his life. But he says this, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. He's not ashamed. Oh, there are those, no doubt, questioning his standing. If he was a true apostle, a true servant of the Lord, why is he shut up in prison? Why is he bound up? He set Paul free and Silas free from the prison. Why can't he set him free now? Because there's a need to be, beloved friends. For I know whom I have believed. This is a most profound statement, isn't it? I know whom I have believed. I wonder how many of us can say that this evening. Or are you with the Apostle Paul writing to the Philippians, that I may know him? That I may know him. But he says here, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know him and I am persuaded of his wondrous ability, of his power to uphold, of his power to maintain, of his power to keep. And I've committed unto him my everlasting soul. And I am persuaded that this is in safe hands. And that I shall be right at last. And that all will be well. And though he's suffering greatly, and though he is bound and has not the freedom and liberty as he once had, yet God, his God, is with him. And he comes to the end of that letter. He says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let me prove, I pray thee. Oh, let me prove the God of Gideon. Let me prove the God of the Apostle Paul, one that is able to deliver, one that is able to deal with my sin, one that is able to wash me and cleanse me from all my sin, one that is able to clothe me in a robe of righteousness, that I might stand at that great day, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in the sight of God. One that is able to bring me in as an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. One that is able to save me with this everlasting salvation. One that is able to keep me from falling and uphold me, though I may have mountains before me, crooked things, though I have a valley of the shadow of death before me. One who has gone before me. May I know a God who has led me through my life, and when that time comes, will take me by the hand and lead me through the article of death. Who says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. One whose feet are on firm ground. One who leads his people in that right way. Who gives them the eye of faith when their eye is dark and the sky is dark and everything's dim and gloomy. One who can speak into their souls and so strengthen and encourage them, though all around them is in chaos and confusion. Who says, certainly I will be with thee. Who spoke to Moses, spoke through Moses to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee, fear thou not, neither be afraid. And whom the Apostle Paul takes up that same point and says, for he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Oh, what a God our God is. One who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. how shall he not with him freely give us all things? He giveth more grace. The more grace we need for each day, he giveth it more. And if any lack wisdom, he giveth and upbraideth not. And one who gives faith and patience and all the fruits of the Spirit working in them, and grants to them that everlasting love of God and heaven at last. Let me prove, I pray thee. May God add his blessing. Amen.
Mr. Gilbert Hyde will preach on Tuesday evening. There will be a prayer meeting for the nation and the churches at 2:30 on Saturday afternoon. And Mr. Bernard Burgess is expected to preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school. Our closing hymn is number 23. A man there is. A real man, with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran in hands and feet and side. Hymn number 23.
forgive all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss in our worship this day. Do take us each home in peace and in safety. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.